Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Luke chapter 24. We're going to, you know, tonight, once again, time of praise and worship. Praise the Lord. 6 o'clock, be here and join us. Let's worship God. A lot of things can happen during that. And I just felt impressed of the Holy Spirit, you know, in talking with the Lord about this morning's service. You know, a lot of things you can preach on. I mean, hey, man, oh, I got enough messages to preach into the second week of the millennium. You know, after all these years. So I'm not hurting for material, you know. But, you know, it's just good to have the right thing. And I just felt like the Lord said to stir us up on this. I'm going to preach on the believer and praise. Amen. And I want us to begin. Let's go to Luke chapter 24 and just talk about this, the believer and praise, and just what it does for your life. Hallelujah. Now, you know, here's the thing. Nothing of the kingdom works unless you have faith. You have to praise and worship by faith. Amen? Yes. You have to enter in by faith, praise God. You have to, in other words, you know, you could be in a praise and worship service. You could be in a praise and worship service. But the point is, are you entering in?
Right.
Are you stepping in by faith? Amen? Now, let's go in our Bible to Luke 24, if you found that. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 50, it says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Everybody say great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Maybe that's why they had continual victory.
Right.
Hallelujah. I want to talk about praise and the believer in praise and our relationship to it. We'll just preach just here for a little bit maybe. But I want to stir us up a little bit this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. We need to open our mouths and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I think it was in this week's bulletin. Let me find it. One of the quotes. Oh, it's John Wesley. He said, sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. But lift up your voice with strength. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor, that's just not me. Well, it needs to be you. Amen. You know, the psalmist said this in Psalm 65. It says, praise waits for you, O God, in Zion. I mean, no, we're Zion. The church is Zion. Praise waits for you in Zion. Now, interesting thing. I first heard Brother Eddie talking about this years ago when he and I were together, and I've looked at this word where it says praise waits for you, and it means to be silent. It means to crouch, you know, like a lion. And it just means waiting to spring forth. In other words, we ought to come into the house of God just ready to be released. Just ready to spring forth. Hallelujah. You know, there's a story about Brother Wigglesworth one time. He was in a service and it was kind of dead. And so he made everybody go back out the doors. Everybody leave. Everybody leave. He said, and we're going to come back in praising the Lord. And one person, it might have been Pastor Stormont, told the story, said, what a service we had. He had everybody leave the church building. They went back outside, and when they came in praising the Lord. And he said, man, we had a service that night. You know? And I have seen that. I've seen that. When people get in one accord and praise the Lord, you know, And you know the devil will fight that. How many know that? You know the devil will bring all kinds of things to your mind during praise and worship. He'll tell you the roast is burning. Amen. You know, you left the stove turned on. Or he'll even talk about this week's grocery list to you. Come on, is this real? Because he knows exactly what will happen. Amen. Because there are some indications from the Bible that he used to be the praise and worship leader in heaven. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why there's indications. You read about the description of Satan in Ezekiel. It talks about him having pipes and tambourines. And then it calls him something. When you study the word out, it lets you know, gives you some insight. It calls him the anointed cherub that covered. The anointed cherub. Now, the cherubims were the angels that were over the mercy seat, overshadowing God's presence right there. And he was, it says about him, he was an anointed cherub before he fell. When you study the word cherub, one of the meanings of the word cherub means to bless, to praise, to adore. So the devil got replaced by us. That's why he fights so hard. Because you know what? He doesn't want us doing a better job than he did. But I got news for you. We're going to do it. Hallelujah. And praise ought to just be waiting to spring forth. We ought to come into the house of the Lord, you know, ready to spring forth into praise. Hallelujah. I don't care what we feel like. I'm talking about what we're supposed to do. Are you listening now? You know, when you go to work, how many know you don't just tell them, well, you know, I just don't feel like doing much today. How many know they'll give you another feeling? Yeah. It'll be a broke feeling. Come on now. Amen. So you don't go to work. You see, too many Christians live by their feelings. It's good to have feelings, but don't live by feelings. Amen. Too many is, if I feel like praising the Lord, you know, let me tell you. I just remember one time at a service, Phil's remember this many years ago, probably in the 90s or late 80s probably, we were at a service and this Catholic priest had gotten born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and he was preaching. Yes, he said, some of you here tonight are like Zacchaeus. You're up a tree and out on a limb. I'll never forget that. But his message was, I have a right to praise the Lord. I'll never forget that message, man. He preached. I mean, you know, he wasn't up there doing like you see at the Catholic Church with the priest and all. I mean, I know they preach some messages or whatever they call them, but this man was like an evangelist, man. He was just preaching. And we not only have a right to praise the Lord, we have a commandment to praise the Lord. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And when we don't, we're being disobedient. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you can't praise the Lord here, I don't know where you can praise the Lord at. I mean, at the house of God with the team that we have. Woo, hallelujah. You ought to be able to praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm just saying this ought to be the easy place to praise the Lord. See, God told us, he said, if you're going to come before me, he said, enter my gates with thanksgiving, my courts with praise. Don't come in here without that. Amen. Amen. We are a royal priesthood. Amen. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, the sacrifices we offer are praises. Right. Praise God. And so I want us to go to Psalm 22. I'm going to look at three scriptures today, but we're going to preach from these this morning. Psalm 22, because I want to read this passage. It's one we you hear quoted at times, but I want us to read it and just talk about it a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, people say, well, I just don't go for all that hallelujah and all that glory to God and all that. You're going to be mighty uncomfortable in heaven. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's going to be a really unpleasant place for you, so I wouldn't go if I was you. Yeah. Because, you know, I read in Revelation, man, they're praising the Lord. They're worshiping God. Hallelujah. You know, listen, let me just say, praise and worship's important. It's an important part of our life, man. It's an important part of the church. Amen? I've been to some churches, the only thing praise and worship's for is just give people time to get there. Oh, yeah. I was with a friend, Phyllis and I were with a friend. And we was going, he was preaching at another church. Remember this night. He was preaching at another church, so we showed up to support him, you know. And we got there. And I mean, it was a Friday night. There's nobody there. I mean, hardly nobody there. I mean, we start the service, and I mean, you know, it's a decent-sized sanctuary, and there's not hardly anybody there. And it's like, where's everybody at? You know? So we begin to praise the Lord, and here comes some people in. We praise some more. Here comes some more people in. We praise the Lord. Here comes some more people in. And he got up there. I love what he said. He said, you know, he said, because it was here in town, in the church here in town. He said, you know, I knew Evansville and Louisville on two different times, but I didn't know Evansville and Evansville were on two different times. He said, let's praise the Lord some more. There's probably another bus out here trying to find his church. I mean, that's not the purpose of praise and worship. The purpose of praise and worship is to magnify God who redeemed us. Yes. Hey, that's what the psalmist said. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Praise God. He owns us. And we owe him praise. Amen. He redeemed us. Praise God. If he never done anything for us again, I mean, other than save us, we got something to praise him for until eternity. Amen. Now, Psalm 22, and this is a scripture you know. I like the way the King James says it. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Verse 3, Psalm 20, did I tell you 22, verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God inhabits. You know, that word inhabit means to sit down on. Some you know, say enthroned because it's like sitting down, making the throne. But it means to inhabit. In other words, we got to get God something to inhabit. Listen to me. God inhabits praises. God doesn't just inhabit music. He inhabits praises. Are you with me now? See, we got to watch, and our team does really well. So this isn't at our team. But I've been in churches. I'm a church guy. I mean, last year I didn't. I preached too many places last year, other than here, a few, because of all that was going on. But, you know, I have had the opportunity over the years to go to a lot of churches. And, you know, sometimes praise and worship, you know, sometimes they try to do the most hippest, newest thing. And not every song, God inhabits it. Right. He inhabits praise. Right. That's where you got to watch. He doesn't just, but this is the cool thing. Yeah, that's fine. It may be cool, and young people may love it, you know, because, you know, they may love it. That's fine. But the point is, I'm interested in what God inhabits. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and sometimes in some church I've been to, it's like the praise and worship's turned into a show. Mm-hmm. It's turned into a concert. It's just lost it. It doesn't have it. You ought to be able to, now pardon the expression, but I mean it, you ought to be able to feel the Holy Ghost in the service. Yes. You ought to be able to sense His presence. Yes. Amen. He ought to show up, praise God. And you know, and sometimes, now listen now, that so some of the new music is, it's God anointed. So don't think this is an old man getting up here complaining. Remember how your dad used to say, turn the music down. Now your kids are hollering at you to do it, you know. And it was just our generation, right? 70s, 60s, you know, all. We cranked it, man. We cranked it. You know, Ted Nugent. I went to a Ted Nugent concert one time, couldn't hear it work the next day. Always said Ted was loud. Well, I went to his concert, I found Ted's loud, man. He's loud. We always cranked it. But see, the thing of it, it's not that. Because some of the new stuff that we do, it's got anointing on it. And some old stuff doesn't have any anointing on it. Some old stuff's got anointing on it. Some new stuff's got anointing. I don't care whether it's old or whether it's new. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about God comes and shows up when you sing the song. He inhabits it. He says, I'll come and inhabit that. Amen. You know, I'll come and inhabit that. Now, I've heard us try to do songs before over the years. I'm not just talking about here. I'm just talking over the years. And they had, it seemed like they had good lyrics. Seemed like everything's okay. And every time you sing it, God's just like, he's like, we bored him. I'm like, well, I don't think he likes that song. let's switch. Amen. And let's just, why? Because God inhabits praises. I said he inhabits praises. Now, I've seen this. I've seen people get healed. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people get delivered just during praise and worship. My mind always goes back to a service we had a lot of years ago. And we had some people that were coming to the church, and they were serving God, but they had family members that weren't saved. One man and wife had two daughters that weren't saved. Another lady had a husband that wasn't saved. And then there was another couple there that had a couple friends that they'd been wanting us to pray for to get saved, to give their lives to Jesus. And so we prayed for them as a church, you know. But one Sunday morning, I don't know why, God knows, but I don't know why, but they all came this Sunday morning. All those people that we'd been praying for showed up this Sunday morning. And God showed up. God showed up. When we started praising and worshiping God, everybody was in one accord. Amen. Everybody was into it. And the power of God hit that place like you would not, like a bomb went off. And it got so holy that even the person leading the praise and worship realized God, they just went, we had at the time a grand piano, you know, with the big lid thing. And it's raised. They went and hid behind it and sat in a chair, one of the chairs on the platform behind it, and just led the praise and worship from there and just kind of got out of the way because God was moving. And I watched that Sunday morning, all five of those people without an altar call, I wasn't in the pulpit, I wasn't saying anything. Brother Eddie was there, he wasn't saying anything. I'm just on the front row, he's on the front row. We're just worshiping God. And I watched all five of those people, one by one, get up and come to the altar and give their life to Jesus Christ. Wow. And I thought, you know, when I was sitting over on this side of church, I thought, well, maybe I ought to go up there and pray with them. And I thought, now, wait a minute here. God started this. I imagine he can finish it. Maybe I'll just stay out of it. We talked to him after the service. So we just stayed out of it. And they all gave their life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And one of them today is a pastor's wife. Her and her husband pastor a church. It wasn't because of great preaching. It's because of great presence. Hallelujah. I've seen people healed in those meetings. I've seen people. That's why tonight you ought to come expecting. This is kind of a talk this morning. Is this all right? You ought to come expecting this tonight, expecting something, the miracle. Come expect a miracle. Amen. Come expect something to happen. Well, this wouldn't be a search where we'd bring unsaved people. Oh, I don't know why not. Get God's presence. That's what they need. Praise God. Amen. I've seen that over the years where you think, you know, you'll get your loved ones to come to church and you'll think, boy, I hope it's calm today. And now I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost will just manifest himself and he'll show out. Amen. Because he knows what people need. Are you with me now? Yes. See, I've seen that happen. I remember one time, first time Greg came. I don't know if Terry's with him. First service they came years ago. He'd heard preaching on TV, but he had never seen any ministry stuff. He had never seen any moving of the Holy Ghost. He'd just seen some preaching on TV, and that's all he'd seen. He was hungry for the word of faith. You know, but when they don't show, everything goes on in the service. And so he came, and I noticed that morning we prayed for somebody and they got slain, one person slain in the spirit, and I saw his eyes get big. I saw him get big, and I thought, well, that might be his last time here. But he won't leave. And I don't want him to. But, you know, I remember after the service, Phyllis, we talked about it. She said, well, at least it was a calm service. I said, honey, you have to realize if you've never seen that, that was wild. That was wild. To us, it was calm.
Amen.
But if you've never seen it, that's wild. And so I got a call from him. He said, can I meet you in your office? I just got some questions to ask you. I thought, oh, yeah, sure. And so he shows up with a legal pad. I mean, he really was, you know, I mean, Greg's he's a brain. How many know that? I mean, I have to tell you that for you to know it, but he is. He's a brain. You couldn't figure it out by talking to him, but he is. He's a brain. I'm having fun with him. And he had this, do you believe this? He said, you probably think I'm crazy or silly or something. I said, no, I think you're smart. You're not going to waste my time. You're not going to waste your time.
Amen.
We must have checked all the boxes because he's still here. Amen. All these years later. Praise
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know. Well, you know, here's the thing. See, sometimes we think what will run people off, it won't run people off.
Right.
It's what they need. They need the presence of God.
Yes, right.
Amen.
Amen.
So what is praise? I just wrote some things down. I thought you might enjoy this. What does praise do? Well, number one, praise is a weapon against the enemy. Psalm 8:2 tells us that you've, Psalm 8:2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you've ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might steal the avenger. Amen. Paul and Silas, praise God. Remember that in the prison?
Yeah.
All their bonds were loosed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, another thing, praise strengthens you inwardly.
Yes.
It's a strength for you.
Yes.
In that same Psalm 8:2, where it says, Jesus said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When Jesus quoted it in Matthew 21, verse 16, he said, have you never read it? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. So Jesus called the strength praise. The strength praise. Now there's a reason why he did that, because when you study this out, the root word, the Hebrew root word for praise, actually means to strengthen inwardly. So when we're praising God, we're strengthening ourselves inwardly. Hallelujah. We're putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Remember what Paul said? Well, what did he say, Pastor? He said, be filled with the Spirit. And he told us how. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord keeps you full of the Holy Spirit. Well, that strengthens you inwardly. Now, speaking to yourself in psalms, what's a psalm? Well, a psalm is this. A psalm is a story of man's deliverance or mercies he's received. Sometimes we sing songs about how God's delivered us. A hymn is like a direct praise to God, a song in honor to God. You know, like, I exalt thee. It's all about God, see? Some songs contain stories of our deliverance. They're psalms. Then there's hymns that are just direct praise to God. Then there, he said, spiritual songs, songs that the Spirit gives. Amen. So praise strengthens us inwardly. Praise brings increase into our life. The psalmist said in Psalm 67, he said, let all the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase. Hallelujah. Many times in the scriptures, you'll see people praise God and praise Jesus, and they were healed. It brought increase into their life. Now go to Luke chapter 19. This is where we're closing at today in just a little bit. Luke chapter 19. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but we're going to stir ourselves up about this today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 19. I want to show you something here. This is for all the dignified ones. Hallelujah. We've all been there, right? Sometimes I've been too dignified. Amen. But we need to quit it. Hallelujah. Luke, let's go there. Luke 19, verse 37, it says, this is talking about Jesus. It says, when he was come nigh even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God Notice, with a loud voice, and all the for all the mighty works which they had seen. Now, you know, there's time to be loud. There's time to be loud. You know, my a friend of mine, he went to, trying to think of the country, Siberia. He said he went to Siberia. And he said, you know, and he said, you know, the notion is Siberia is cold all the time. He said, but when I was there, it was hot. But when it's cold, it's really cold. But he said, you know, I went to this church. He told me, he said, I went to this church. And he said, they started the service. And he said, all of a sudden, I hear this roar. Of course, they're in a different language. They're not speaking the same language. He said, I thought some kind of commotion, some kind of disturbance was going on. So he said, I'm on the front row because, you know, he's going to preach. He said, I turn around, look behind me. And it's all the believers praising God. I mean, they just don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have the freedoms that we have, or at that time, they may now. They didn't have the freedoms that we have. So they're going to use they're going to redeem every moment.
Amen.
Right? And so this is Jesus' disciples, and they pray. Everybody say with a loud voice.
Loud.
I had someone tell me one time, they said, they didn't like the way we praised God. We got too loud. And they told me, they said, well, I forget how they said, but they said, I just don't go for that loud praise, that loud. She said to me, she said, I got a praise in my heart to God, and He knows it. I said, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it's in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. Are you listening now? If it's in your heart, it's going to come out. And so they praise God with a loud voice. Now notice verse 38 saying, blessed be the King that comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. You know, there's always Pharisees present. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Now you talk about something that's the most least likely thing to make noise on the earth. It's a stone. I mean, I have stones in my landscape and they ain't said a thing. The trees make a little noise every now and then. You know, they're moving around. But them stones, they don't make any noise. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the stones are going to cry out. Now, what's wrong here? Well, here's why would somebody get upset with somebody praising the Lord? Listen, people are so full of tradition. You know, Jesus said the traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And people are so full of tradition about what church ought to be like. It's like a minister said one time, he said, you know, we had this service, and he said, the power of God really moved in the service. And he said, after the service, the person came up to me and said, now, where do you find that kind of service in the New Testament? He said, well, where do you find the kind of services we've been having in the New Testament? You can't find them. He said, I think the book of Acts is a pretty good description of what we saw today. I loved what he said. Amen. Because here's the problem. Really now, if the Holy Spirit left some churches, 90% of the things they do, they'd continue to be able to do them.
Come on now.
They wouldn't even know it.
Right.
Wouldn't even know. And so there's this tradition of what church ought to be like. But it's not biblical, it's not scriptural. Are you with me now? Let me show you. I said this was the last scripture. Would you grace me with one more? Go to the book of Acts. Grace me with one more scripture, Acts chapter 15. Go there, because I want to show you something here. And I want to prove to you that the way A lot of church folks worship God is totally unscriptural. I'm going to prove it to you. Just from one scripture. There's other scriptures. But there's plenty of places in the Bible that says praise the Lord with a loud voice. Make His praise glorious. Make His praise to be heard. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Does that mean we're loud all the time? No, there's a time to be still and know He's God. There's time for all of it. But listen to this. This is the early church discussing the salvation of the Gentiles. And in verse, they're having an argument. Can Gentiles be saved? Sometimes we think they were real sharp, but they had a lot going on. But they need help just like us. Because Jesus said, go into all of the, where's the world at? All over the place, right? They heard, go into all of Israel. Come on, are you with me? Remember even Peter, when he had a vision to go to Cornelius' house, first thing he said when he got there, he said, you know I'm not supposed to be here. He's still fighting that. But the Lord intended for not just the Jews to hear the gospel, but the whole world. And so they're having a discussion about it because, of what's been going on. The Gentiles have been saved. Some of them have been saved. They're having a discussion about what to do with it now. And in verse 13, look at this. It says, after they had held their peace, James, who was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or Peter, hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David. This is a prophetic word from God. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. So he quotes Amos, and he said, this is in line with the prophetic word from Amos that God would build again the tabernacle of David. Not the tabernacle of Moses. Because why? The Gentiles were not going to be going to the tabernacle of Moses. So he said, I'm building the tabernacle of David so that all the residue of the remnant of people might seek the Lord. They might come here and seek the Lord. Now, what? What is the tabernacle of David? Well, here's what the tabernacle of David was. Are you ready now? The tabernacle of David, there was a point. Now, hear me now. This is going to prove what I'm talking about. There was a point where Israel, had let the light go out spiritually. And the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen. The Philistines stole it. And they took it to I think, Beth Shemesh or someplace like that. But when they got over there and got it, they started getting plagued. And they thought, oh, my God. They had about 7 months, and they thought, I've had enough of this. Who can stand this holy God? And so they put it on a cart and sent it back, Now, for I think it was around 20 years, that ark was in Obed-Edom's house for a while. It was in different, might have been, maybe Beth Shemesh was the Israel city it was in. It was there for a while. It was in different places. So it was away from the tabernacle for about 20 years. Well, David, he's now king, and he begins thinking about it. He goes, I'm bringing that back to Jerusalem. I'm bringing the ark back because it represented the presence of God. I'm going to bring that back. So he sent and he got the ark. Come on, remember when he was bringing it into Jerusalem, he was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. And his wife, Michael, saw him out the window and despised him. And when he came home, she said, how glorious was the king who uncovered himself in the sight of all the people. You'll be despised by the handmaidens. And David said, it was before the Lord that I did this. And he said, I'm going to be more vile than this woman. Shut your mouth. I had to shut your mouth. But he said, so I didn't know I was in the Bible. But he said, I'm going to be more vile than this. And he said, of those handmaidens you said are going to despise me, he said, I'll be held in honor of them. She said, wasn't the king glorious how he uncovered himself in the sight of all the people today? Well, what she meant was what David did was he took off his kingly garments. He put on the garments of a priest and worshiped God. In other words, he wasn't going to come before God with those, like he was something. He took them off. And the Bible said she was barren till the day of her death. So go ahead and make fun of us if you want to, but you'll all be barren spiritually. But anyway, David brings this ark back and he sets up a tent in Jerusalem and puts the ark in it. Now, totally radically different than Moses' tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle was solemn. Ceremony. To the rote. Are you with me now? See, I went and preached for a certain denomination one time, you know. They asked me to come preach. All right? They asked me to come preach. I'm not making fun of them. I thank God they asked me to come preach. All right? But it was just different. When I got there, the pastor handed me the bulletin, and you followed everything on there. It had, and see, and it used words that, this was years ago, I didn't even know what, it said prelude, and then some other ludes. You understand, I knew what quaaludes were. I didn't know what we were talking about here. But I knew we only had so many minutes to do this, and so many minutes to do that, and it was all rigid, it was all formal and all. Well, I just honored that and I followed that and preached and blessed them and went home. Well, that's kind of like Moses' tabernacle. God said, you come in this way, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do that, you do it to the rote, you don't do it right, you're liable to die. That was Moses' tabernacle. It was solemn. Amen. Come on, can anybody think about churches like that? Come on, are you with me now? And they think we're nuts because we worship God the way we worship God. But yet David's tabernacle was this. He set that ark in the tent. They didn't sacrifice animals. They sacrificed shouts of joy, praise, dancing, singing. Are you with me now? See, that's what they did at David's tabernacle. They were lively. David set up people to praise God 24 hours a day before the Ark of the Covenant. Now, it was a joyful worship. It wasn't a solemn thing. It wasn't just all, you know, real rigid. It was expressive. It was joyful. God said that I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David. That's today, folks. Amen. That's today. That's where we're at right now. We Gentiles, you could choose. Some churches are choosing to worship at the tabernacle of Moses. I'm going to tabernacle of David. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't think I haven't seen some wild things. I'm not talking about things of the flesh. I'm talking about things of the Spirit. I've seen some wild things that needed to be shut down and shut up. People just be in the flesh. I've seen that. Don't worry about that. There's always enough wet blankets to put those people out. Amen. But I'm talking about worshiping God. Praise God. You know, and so sometimes people will see church. There's people that come here. I've seen people come in here before. Oasis Church doesn't tell you a whole lot about our church. Except it seems like a nice place to go. An Oasis, that sounds cool. Let's go. I've seen people come here, and I may say hello to them, and when I get up to go take up the offering, they're gone. They left during praise and worship. I've seen it happen many times. They're gone. Why? Wasn't what they was expecting. But it's what God has in mind. And exactly what you need. Yeah. Oh, I know. I stepped into it. I stepped into it myself as a young man on drugs. I went to a Pentecost church, you know. I mean, true Pentecost church. My gosh, they had everything happening. I'm not kidding you when I say this. I honestly said this to myself. When I went to that church, I went on a Sunday night, and you know, because God was dealing with me. He's drawing me to Him, and so I went to church. I knew He'd be at church. He wasn't where I was at that much, you know. Well, I knew He'd be at the church. So I went. Woo, did they have church. My Lord God, they weren't, it wasn't like, and this is no offense, because I'd gone to the Baptist church in town. It wasn't like that. They weren't singing the doxology. They weren't singing the verse, you know, 2 and 4. They had the instruments going. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. They were getting wet. I thought, Lord, if I ever get out of here alive, I wasn't sure about it. I'm never coming back. But you know what? Here's what happened. Something got in me. Something I needed got in me. I look back and think, thank God I went to the right church. If I'd have went to some dead church, they'd probably told me I was saved and I'm still doing LSD. I said, well, you're all right. You came to church and filled out a card. You're good to go. I'm glad I met some Holy Ghost, hallelujah, Spirit-filled people that were worshiping God, hallelujah, amen. And I realized, man, woo, I belong here. I did belong there. It's where I needed to be. But boy, my flesh was hollering. My unrenewed mind was screaming like, you made a mistake, son. Don't do this again. But you know what? Here's what happened. Now, I didn't get saved that night at that church. I didn't get saved. It's a revival center. I didn't get saved. But something about the next Sunday, I felt that tugging again. You need to go back. Say, it's God. It's God. True. Something got in me. Hallelujah. Something got in me. Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God they had something. Amen. Praise God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.